audiobook reader if you want.
I think I'd be a great audiobook reader. I'm super literate.
I know somebody who's an audiobook reader. She's super talented. Yeah.
This is way off topic. I don't know if this is usable at all. It's not. What do you have to do to be super talented at reading an audiobook? Because, like, I do voices for Sophia. Does that count?
I mean, maybe you could play that into it.
Most audiobooks I've listened to that are even narrative, like, the person reading doesn't do voices.
Yeah, yeah, they subtly change the way that they're speaking, so you know who's speaking.
Because often
it's not like, meanwhile, back at the ranch. It's not.
What was that?
Nobody wants that. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're excited to explore how our faith... You know,
are we?
I don't know how it works anymore.
Wow.
We are exploring, there we go, how our faith moves beyond Sunday morning. There we go. Hey, it's close enough.
We got to restart.
We'll restart it. Welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. There we go.
All right.
Third time's a charm.
Third, fifth, whatever. Yeah.
This is Patrick Nazaroff with me as always. Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here. Still pretty successful.
Woo! So we're all back.
Back together. Woo. It's
no
been a while.
No more summer vacay.
Yeah.
Well.
Back to summer's over.
We started
school's
out exciting.
Session.
Yes.
And now.
Yep. It's been a while since the three of us have been in studio.
Yeah.
Months? Is that right?
No.
A month.
4 weeks.
That is 1 month. That's how we count that. Yeah.
Month?
According to the Gregorian calendar.
Yes.
Well, do we use the Gregorian? Is that the right one?
Don't
I think that's
anymore.
What we use.
Probably.
I think it's Gregorian.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Are there other calendars?
Well, there were calendars before whichever one we use now. I think Gregorian is the current one that we use.
Sure.
As the calendar.
There's one. Any other ancient cultures you'd like to name?
I'm sure the Chinese have a calendar.
They still have one.
Phoenicians was the alphabet. Yep.
There you
they
go.
Probably had a calendar, though.
Seems like they would have.
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
They had, like, a word a day calendar.
Yeah.
Like the Nez calendar. So
yes.
Peel off one.
Yeah.
Hey.
They actually developed the calendar just so that they had a place to put all of their alphabet words.
Yes.
Yeah.
That makes sense. All right. Not signing up for LinkedIn. Looking at my phone for our news article.
But cool. But signing up for LinkedIn instead.
It let me do a LinkedIn.
Patrick's really dedicated at this recording process.
Yeah,
right.
I'm just
going to... here, I'm going to look for another job.
I'm going to browsing, see what's out there, any other podcast looking for some help. We've missed... I've been here for all of them, so I've missed
that's
you. I've missed you both.
Aww.
Thanks. Missed you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So last week, we released our book on Isaiah.
We did.
Yes.
That was a fun one.
I was not invited to.
Yes.
I mean, you were invited. You were not available.
You weren't here.
Did you really want to log in from Oregon to record the podcast?
No, I did not.
Yeah, see?
No.
So there you go.
Yeah.
No more complaining.
And Elise and I got a compliment on our friendship podcast.
Yeah.
We got an email.
So sweet,
that you were
it?
Not here for.
Yeah.
I see how it is. We know who the real friends on this podcast
are. We got an email from Marianne. She said she really liked it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are you sharing that email, or was that it?
Well, I don't have it up,
okay.
But I wanted to acknowledge that we got it.
Shout out to Marianne. Thanks for letting us know that you enjoyed Patrick and Elise's Friendship podcast. Spinoff, Patrick and Elise's Friendship is the new podcast.
Yes.
Welcome to Night Vale.
Yeah.
That's already taken.
That's already taken. Church Vale, which we established earlier, that may or may not have made the intro.
Who knows? It was a long one today.
Yeah.
We had lots to catch up on.
So we're talking about Simone.
The Biles?
Yes.
The Biles.
Is she a one-word person now? Can we just refer to her by her single name, like Cher? Or
just Simone or Biles?
Either
one.
I guess she gets to choose, right?
Yeah.
Feels only fair to give her that agency.
Ask her. She lives on Rayford Road.
Does she seriously live on Rayford Road?
Yeah.
She lives in Houston.
I mean, I knew she lived on Houston, but Rayford Road is, like,
Rayford Road.
Close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get her.
Yeah.
Broach her.
Get her on the pod.
This is the closest field trip we've ever had an opportunity to do.
Yeah. So a few weeks ago, by the time this was released, Simone opted out of an event at the Olympics.
Yeah.
And everybody had an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
And now 3 weeks later, time for ours. Not really.
Yeah.
But it's a jumping off point. It's a jumping off.
We're going to talk very little about Simone and the Olympic experience.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, but first I have some news. Don't you usually go like the news?
You have a thing, yeah. The
news.
Yeah.
The news.
There it is. Yeah.
Sorry, I was
there.
Just laughing at you downplaying everything that we just said that was interesting about the podcast.
It is. I'm just like,
we're not going to talk about Simone or the Olympic experience
well,
in this in well, this podcast about Simone.
What it's about.
Yeah, well, one, I don't have any, certainly no first world experience with the Olympic experience.
You don't have any first world experience?
Yeah.
Not with the Olympic experience.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Kentucky Fried Chicken?
I am.
No.
You're not
familiar?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, are you familiar? Well.
Please, if you tell me that their chicken's not chicken, I'm just going to cry.
Like Subway
so
tuna?
Sick. Yeah.
I haven't been to KFC in a while. Because I feel like I'm going to get chicken if I go to Popeyes. Popeyes is better.
That's fair.
Agree.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's still a bone in it, which makes me feel like it's probably still from a chicken, right?
No, not all Popeyes chicken has bone.
No, I'm talking about
KFC.
KFC. Yeah.
Well, not the little sandwich that's two meats with
no,
cheese in the middle.
There's not supposed to be
oh, right.
bone in that. Did you get a bone in your sandwich?
No.
That's
the fruit.
That's the fruit that it's real chicken.
Not like you.
Shove a bone
right?
in the sandwich.
Well, in the month of August, if
uh-huh.
you're traveling
Ooh.
To London...
Oh.
oh.
You can book yourself a stay at the KFC Hotel.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
What do we got?
Uh-huh.
What happens at the KFC Hotel? Do I get to sleep in a bucket of chicken?
Well, it is, one, it's called the spiciest stay of the
Ooh.
Summer.
Wow.
Only by British standards is KFC the spiciest thing
yeah.
around. But okay.
Uh-huh.
No, they're into Indian food.
Oh, that's true. They do
so,
have that.
Yeah.
All right. It's, I think, remarkably cheap. $154 per night.
Okay.
Okay, that's not bad.
Are you staying in a KFC, or is
You're
this like a KFC-themed
it
hotel?
It is a KFC-themed hotel. It's
okay.
only
okay.
it's only existing for 11 days.
Whoa. Oh, pop-up hotel.
It's a pop-up
yeah.
hotel. Yeah.
Is the building only existing for 11 days? Because that would be concerning.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's just like,
okay, well,
we're
going
to demolish
it's like
thing.
An urban fantasy plot
right, uh-huh.
here.
All right, well, when you book your stay here at the KFC motel, the spiciest stay of the summer,
mm-hmm.
part of the experience, a black Cadillac... known as the Colonel Mobile, will
sure.
pick you up
yeah.
and take you to the hotel. See, I'm already...
Pick me up where? Wherever I am?
I, you know, in London, I'm sure.
Okay.
You know, within, within
yeah,
reason.
With,
yeah,
yeah, sure. Yeah. All right.
Where you go to a chicken clerk.
Chicken clerk?
The
chick
oh,
you.
Instead of
chicks
of a,
you in.
Chicks, oh, my
yeah.
goodness.
Yeah. Take
you,
to
you read this just for the
proper, your
yes.
proper wing of the hotel?
Yes. and then also you'll have KFC menu items delivered by room service. You pick up,
okay.
there's a red phone, you pick it up, get your KFC.
Sure.
Give
me some of
so it's like the drive-thru, but you're locked in for the night. That's what I'm hearing.
How many hotels do you stay that you get locked into?
Oh, they, you can leave. It's not like a,
it's
like
not,
you check in and it's the
It's
whole
not
experience.
The Hotel California.
I thought it was
right?
okay. I thought it was like a theme park, like, experience theme. I don't know.
No.
Never
do you get
mind.
Trapped in
Move
a...
on.
There's also a cinema room.
Sure.
They only play chick flicks.
Oh, goodness. All right, wait, wait, wait. Are you making these puns up, or is this from the news article that you're reading?
The world will never know.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to know. I want to know who to
the
blame
cinema room.
This.
Literally only plays chicken
okay.
legs, according,
okay.
according to the news one.
All right.
Bedding, wallpaper, and arcade, then an arcade machine, and complimentary towels all
okay.
have fried chicken things.
Complimentary, like I get to keep them at the end?
I think so.
Because every yeah. hotel gives me towels.
Yeah.
But I'm not supposed
That's
to
not
take
really
them.
That's not really a brag. We have towels.
It's a place for diehard chicken lovers,
yeah.
long a bit of escapism. The House of Harland will be popping up in London, and there's everything you need for the moment you check in. There you go.
Chicken.
All right, so all funds raised at the hotel will be donated to the KFC Foundation.
What do they do?
Make chicken.
Supports grassroots organizations to empower young people to achieve their potential.
Sounds
Make
good.
Chicken, yeah. This is a...
I'm going to be honest, like, $154 a night.
That's not bad.
You get picked up by a car.
Yeah.
You have unlimited chicken on a phone call away.
Yeah.
How much are you really making from this?
Room
yeah.
Included?
Yeah, it's
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, room service is not normally included.
We should field trip.
We could.
To say we did it.
We should get Simone Biles to field trip us.
Yes.
Us and Simone Biles.
We'll
get
her up.
Simone.
Like, Simone.
Hey,
we're on the way to the airport. Let's
yeah.
go.
If you're listening, hop into the Colonel Mobile with us.
Never has there been a creepier kidnapping
right.
than
yeah.
hop into the Colonel Mobile.
Did you know, this is a fun fact for you.
I'm sure I did not.
The KFC Twitter only follows 11 people.
Really?
Yes, the five Spice Girls and six guys named Herb to represent the 11 herbs and spices they go into. Okay. AMC.
That's all they follow. That's funny.
That's pretty fun, huh?
I appreciate that commitment.
Me too. That's a good bit.
Branding, yeah.
How'd you like to be one of those guys named Irv?
Just some random guy
I would
named
be
Irv.
So flattered. Yeah.
I know.
I'm one of the 11 people that KFC does.
Yeah, you're in the same stratosphere as the Spice Girls, so.
You're now a Spice Girl adjacent. That's
yeah,
cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
1 degree of separation from the Spice Girls.
Does Twitter count as a degree of separation?
I think it does.
I think so.
In Sam Heughan follows me on Twitter.
Who's that?
He's the dude from Outlander.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
The ladies know what I'm talking about.
All right, what do you think? You want to go stay at the chicken
yes.
hotel? Me too.
I think we all established that. Yeah.
If this was
half the price.
If this
like,
was in Houston,
price, that's what I meant to say.
For $150 a night, yeah, I'd consider it. I think
yeah.
it'd be fun.
Yeah.
A fun
I mean,
little
gotta,
getaway.
We have to get there.
Yeah, the travel's the real cost.
So that's probably an extra $800 to $2,000 a piece. So.
To $2,000?
Depending, yeah.
Depending on how you're flying, I guess.
Yeah, and when you go.
KFC does not, the Colonel Mobile does not have a Colonel plane, evidently.
Oh, come on.
So.
I bet the Colonel
yeah.
has a plane.
He should.
The Colonel gives you wings.
No, that's Red Bull.
It's chicken.
Yeah.
Wings.
I'm shaking my head in disgust. This is terrible. This is all terrible.
I would like it too if the shower instead of like a little pump for hand sanitizer, it has the gravy in there.
Oh.
It's all part of the experience.
I do not want to sanitize my hands with KFC gravy.
Just like.
Yeah.
Are there any other? Let me before we move on. Any other fast food restaurants that you would be intrigued by a hotel experience?
Chipotle.
Torchies.
Okay.
I would definitely sleep in a burrito bowl shaped bed. That would be fun.
You know, if there was a giant tortilla as your blanket,
I would wrap up in that for
so
sure.
Cute.
I would make myself a little human burrito.
Right.
Wrap me up in a big tortilla.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
That'd be good. I don't know. McDonald's always had those play places, which I feel like
they're creepy though.
If
in the base case,
but if you had like
McDonald's,
but if you had like an adult hotel with like a giant play place, like I think that could be fun.
Like a ball pit.
Yeah. Well, maybe not the ball pit because those are like you know.
Sure. Filled with pee-pee.
COVID hotspots.
COVID and urine.
Right. You know, you get to crawl through the little hamster tunnels.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
I could
play with it. Or you could, like, have it, like, going, like, from room to room. So rather than, like, knocking people's doors, you knock on their tunnel and you crawl in.
Sure. Okay, okay.
This feels like it exists in Tokyo already.
I feel like it does.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
The clown is the mascot.
Yeah.
It sucks.
That's fair.
If we have the Hamburglar, I feel better about it.
Well, of course you have the Hamburglar.
Well, he's the villain. Why would you feel better? He's there to burgle.
He's not a clown. The clown is always the villain.
The Hamburglar is not, you know, looking like a... He's not inspiring confidence, okay?
No.
He looks scared.
Stripes are a better look.
You could cuddle up with Grimace. He's nice.
Yeah
he seems friendly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
a big... I don't know what he is, what his connection to McDonald's.
Yeah.
A big purple, you know, triangle thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he looks fuzzy.
He does. He looks fuzzy. Looks cuddly.
Yeah.
Well, now that we've established that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's move on. I expected a Long John Silver's. You know, we gotta bring it back.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, we could go there, but...
You don't go to a Long John Silver's hotel. You end up at a Long John Silver's hotel.
I'm not into nautically themed hotels. That's my... I mean,
oh,
I would eat the food for sure, but, you know, the nautical theme. I'm just over it.
Okay, you're out on nautical themes, huh?
For hotels.
Okay.
Yeah.
You would want to sleep on a boat, like a cruise? What about a Long John Silver's cruise?
I could do a Long John Silver's cruise. Okay. Is it, like, all Long John Silver's for the entire time I'm on the cruise?
Just no.
Like...
All the fried fish and hush puppies you can eat.
Done. I'm in.
Yeah. At least you'd do it. I know.
No. It's like floating hell.
If we took you on a cruise and you found out after you were on the boat that it was a Long John Silver's cruise, you would definitely stay. You'd be fine.
I mean, what else? What are your options? Jump off?
Yeah. She might consider it.
Ooh, how
she
far
thought pretty
trap
hard.
Is it?
All right. From Relevant,
our
friends. Our pals.
Yeah.
Our good friends. Why Olympic athletes break down and why you could be next.
Dun, dun, dun.
Emphasis mine.
Seems
there
a little,
go my pommel horse dreams.
Was a little darker than the headline that I read.
Why you, listener,
that's
could
right.
be next.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah, so all the world had to have an opinion on Simone Biles.
Everybody did.
Yeah.
Did you all have an opinion? I kept mine to myself because I was on vacation, so I decided that was...
You didn't want to tweet about it.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm better off.
Yeah.
I've got better things to do on my vacation.
Yeah.
I have an opinion, but I didn't have like a public opinion.
Oh.
I guess I'm about to.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you want to give us a sad opinion?
Leave her alone, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
I mean, I feel like most of the things that I saw, at least in my circles, were relatively pro Simone Biles and incredibly supportive of her decision making process in this. I did not see a ton out there on my social media feeds of like, this was quitting or this is bad.
Oh,
or
you missed out.
Was wrong.
Yeah, I got about 50-50, I think.
And I'm not saying that those things didn't exist. I just didn't see that directly. I mean, comments on a thing are always going to be there.
Sure.
And those are just the dredges of humanity. They're the ball pit of the internet. Yes. filled with
COVID and urine.
Yeah,
COVID and urine.
Slightly damp.
Yes. But so, you know, that is like, that's always going to be there on everything.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't see like a lot of stuff.
And there, I mean, there is something to be said for, you know, you're part of a team and what does it mean to be part of a team going into a competition? But I think when I was encountering that, a lot of that took that to this extreme of what the expectation should be that's placed on her and not acknowledging her as an individual and a human being who has, you know, very serious things going on in her life. Anyway, we're going to get into that.
Yeah, and I mean, I 100% agree if you're part of a team, you have expectations, but like, I'm not part of that team.
Yes.
So, like, so it's hard for me to say, like one member of this team that I'm not a part of is failing the other members of this team when I'm not privy to any of the conversations or any of the feelings of any other member.
Right. But I watch TV and I have an opinion. So
I feel like she owes me something.
I'm part of Team USA, I suppose.
Yeah. National
America.
Pride.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I saw, that I did make one comment on a thing that was pro Simone. And I said, hey, look, for me, it's really easy to be pro Simone in this situation.
Because she's amazing.
We all love her. We all are also very aware of, like, the horrors that Team USA has been through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's very public, very awful, and Simone is a part of that.
Yeah.
And so, like, she's also, as a person, seems incredibly, like, sweet and kind and articulate and, you know, a very healthy role model for young boys and girls, easy to root for. So when this person, who I've spent the last, I don't know, 4 years in our lives, 5 years, I guess, since the Olympics are a little off, is saying this, it's easy for me to get behind that.
Yeah.
And for me, it was a reminder, though, that there are kids, and some kids I work with, that I am unaware of the horrors and challenges that they may go through. And in reality, they don't seem so sweet or kind or articulate. They sometimes can seem like jerks.
Yeah.
And they have just as much right as Simone does as the benefit of the doubt. They have just as much right to say, like, I do not feel comfortable doing X. Right now, my mental health is more important than blank.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's hard, like, it's easy, maybe it's easy for us to rally behind a Simone Biles, harder to rally behind somebody that is a jerk.
Yeah, sure.
And he still says, can say those things.
Yep.
Yeah. But we're not really here to talk about Simone Biles. Because one, I don't know.
Because other than the fact that she apparently lives on Redford Road, we know very little about her.
She's a gymnast.
Yeah.
She is that, yeah.
And she also did compete in the Olympics.
She did.
She did, yep.
And she medaled.
Took bronze in the thing.
And I think she also took a silver. She has a bronze and silver from this Olympics.
Oh, did she get the silver in?
I don't know. I think she's there. I think I saw it.
I mean, I know Team USA got a silver in the team all around. Did she still get that as part of the team, even though she did not?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of her with a silver
medal. Oh, maybe she, I mean, maybe that she still got a medal as part of the team. That would make sense.
We'll let the listeners Google that one.
It's impossible for me to verify right now.
Right.
I'm holding my phone in my hand.
Can't do it.
I'm not going to look it up.
Good. That's the kind of dedication to research that you can expect here on Beyond Sunday.
Yeah. But there has been backlash against Simone.
Sure.
Negativity and disdain really is out there towards her. And I think part of this backlash comes from a skewed cultural perspective that, I'm going to be honest, all of us, including myself, can be a part of. That when it comes to athletics or competition, it's very easy to fall into this. Here, according to the article here from Relevant, these platitudes that are very easy from just do it, Nike's slogan, never say die, do the impossible, never give up. Losers quit when they're tired. Winners quit when they've won.
That one doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I understand the premise of losers quit when they're tired, but like winners keep going. I mean, you win and then
I don't know.
You're done.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing.
Ooh. I hate that one.
Yeah, that's gross.
A champion is someone who gets up when he can't.
Okay.
Yeah.
That one's confusing to me, too.
None of these are great. What's wrong with sports?
I've had a lot of... I mean, I don't know. Were you guys in sports as kids? I've had a lot of these said to me by various coaches and things like that. Like.
Yeah.
For sure. I did team sports, which is probably... I recommend it for everybody. Based on this, don't do that.
You recommend team sports?
Not team sports.
Oh, not team sports.
Yeah, solo sports.
No, team sports are good. I mean, solo sports are great, too. I did both. But,
yeah.
I mean, I can connect with a lot of those things that have been said because they've been said to me. And they've been said to me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I was in basketball camp as, like, a, you know, third grader. And I remember getting those that, or, you know, every day we had a quote of the day. And, you know, it would be something like this. We'd come back the next day, and if you could say it, you got a, I don't know, piece of candy or something.
Yeah.
So I mean,
yeah.
This was a part of the culture, is to learn things like quitters never prosper or whatever the thing was.
Never say die.
Or just do it. Or what was the one? I do like this one. To be late is to be, no, what was it? To be on time is to be late. To be on time, to be early is to be on time. To be on time is to be late. And to be late is to be forgotten.
Yeah.
I like that one. I still
That's
use
about
that
time for, management though, not
right.
Like,
but
sports.
I mean, but that was like, that was like things like that.
Yeah.
And it was starting at a very young age. That's the point of the story. The quote was
the
not
the propaganda is the point of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it also raises like these major questions of like, what is quitting?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like is what Simone Biles did quitting, or is it a reappropriation of like priorities and what matters? Like, is it quitting for one basketball or football or baseball or hockey player to like play through the pain and then the next one chooses not to? Is that quitting?
Yeah.
If you're injured and you can't compete at 100%, is it okay to say like, I can't compete at 100%?
Yeah.
And I need to recover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we as a society, you know, have like really weird elements of this, right? Like I know a comparison often made to this mobile situation was the Carrie Strug situation, where a young girl, 18 years old, broken ankle, and competed.
Yeah.
And
do you guys remember that?
I do.
I do.
Yeah. I mean, it was 96 in Atlanta, and it was an incredible moment. I mean, I remember watching it live, and it was amazing. Yeah.
Also horrifying, though.
Well, I mean, I didn't realize that it was horrifying as a kid.
Yeah.
I remember it being amazing.
Right.
And I think we didn't, as a nation, had any recollection. I think nobody was out there. There were no hot takes of Carrie Strug should not have done this.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, all of us were like, wow.
That's amazing.
Spirit of a champion.
Yeah.
How incredible.
But it ended her career.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And now we're also, I think, with the benefit of hindsight and how we've re-looked at mental health and how we push, especially young athletes here, of like, was this just a teenage girl coerced into doing something that maybe she really should not have done? And maybe an adult should have stepped in with her best interest and said, you cannot do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even if she wanted to. And I don't know, right? Like,
well, I think there's a distinct place where we can create some separation here, whether it's good, bad, or otherwise, right? I mean, there is the reality of, you know, Carrie Strug and Simone Biles are competing in a world in which winning is what they're out there to do, right? Nobody gets into the Olympics to say, well, I'm out here to have fun. That is not how you compete to go to the Olympics, right? What I think has become toxic and was problematic is that we've embraced that similar kind of mentality and culture within the church.
Yeah.
And we've made this same kind of mentality of like, just push through it or just do it or winners are all that matter kind of thing. We've embraced that within the life of our faith. And that is where I think this real toxicity comes into play, because we as the church should be calling each other into something different. And we should be calling ourselves into another way of life. You know, one of the things that Simone tweeted out after in the response, I'm not going to quote it exactly, but it was essentially that people's outpouring of love and support when she withdrew from the competition was the first time that she started to believe that she was something more than gymnastics. You should not have to go through this kind of mental challenge or mental break. I don't want to call it a mental breakdown because that's not the right word to use, but you shouldn't have to go what she had to go through in order to experience that you are more than this competition.
Yeah.
Right. And So in some ways, society and the church failed her on that respect.
Yeah.
And I would say the church specifically. I don't know her faith life. I don't know if she's part of a church or not. But if the church is not getting the message out that every individual is more than their competition,
mm-hmm.
more than their job, more than their whatever, we're not doing our work.
Yeah.
Where do you see that show up the most in church?
Mm.
That messaging of, like, push through it, don't quit, that type thing?
That's a good question.
So,
go ahead.
I'm actually going to step here, because I think one of the ways church actually does fail at this is, honestly, church workers can think this about others, but not about themselves. like that it's very hard to think, like, I am more than a youth director when I'm fully invested in what I'm doing, or more than a pastor. Like, that it becomes so intrinsic to our identity. So it's easy to be like, but this kind of like church worker identity is tangentially related to like the Christian faith. So it's easy to get away with like, so it counts. I'm allowed to be like fully invested in this title, this position, this this thing, because it's related to faith. But you as an engineer, as a teacher, as this, you should not find your identity in what you do, while I find my identity in what I do. Like, because I think that's how we get to some pastors out there saying, hey, men, you need to be home with your kids, and, you know, you need to be prioritizing family while they're working 90 hours a week for the church. You know, like, I think that's where we get into these dichotomies of, you should rest, but I cannot.
I think we do this too with how we handle mental health in the church. I think we have for decades been getting the message of, well, just, you know, just pray more, just push through it. I think like pray more or faith will get you through it is kind of like our equivalent of just do it or push through the pain, right? And there are things that need to be legitimately addressed. And yes, prayer is always good and is never going to, you know, praying about a mental health challenge is never going to be a bad thing, but that's not necessarily going to be the only thing that will help you move through that time. And I think sometimes that we push out that message of, oh, well, if you really have faith, you won't be struggling with that, right? We get that message a lot, too. Like, oh, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move this mountain. Yeah, but I'm surrounded by a mountain of debt. How am I supposed to move that? Or, oh, just have faith. I think that kind of platitude, we throw those things
out. Faith and prayer will not hurt you, but not taking additional actions might.
You know, several years ago on the podcast, we did a podcast about kind of Christian.
Wow, we've been doing this long enough to say
several years ago.
We did.
I had a little moment.
Really, with Katie. We talked about Christian, kind of these platitudes.
Oh, yeah.
And how, like, they're really awful. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, like these ones we kind of highlighted at the top about sports, we got the same ones in the church.
Yeah.
And they're very similar. Again, it's not the context of a playing field, but we slap these things out there, say, oh, you're mourning and you're sad. Well, you know, God, if God brought you to it, he can bring you through it, you know, and then that's it.
I'll tell you which one we didn't embrace in the church is the one about timeliness, because we are all late to everything. But that's a separate issue.
Like,
that's
donuts are packed now.
That does not help people get here earlier.
No, that's what I'm saying.
but I do think that this does highlight, because I think all of us maybe have stuff similar to Simone that are nervous about identity stuff, right? Like that we've been kind of dancing around. Like, if I'm not the youth director of Lord of Life, or if I'm not the blank, what am I?
Yeah.
You know, we all kind of have this, like, is it okay? Am I equally as valuable to the church, to my family, to my friends, to my relationships, if I fail?
Yeah.
And all of us are secretly scared.
Yeah.
The answer is no.
Well, and I think this is where, you know, parents in particular, but adults have such a key role to play with our kids, right? Is to start giving them that message as early as possible that our love and our care and our genuine desire to be with them and to know them and to raise them up is not based on their blank, right? It's it's not based on their grades. It's not based on their athleticism. It's not based on their social skills. It's just, you're my child. And if we can do that well for our kids, hopefully we can begin to realize that what we are doing for our kids is what God is constantly doing for us, if that has not already been modeled for us, right? And that we can learn that through the action of doing it. But it's really hard, because you also get so many conflictual messages about, like, how to best raise kids. And Patrick, we talked about this a little bit off the podcast earlier too, right? You want to push your kid. You want to challenge them. You want to encourage them to try new things. But when does that cross into that threshold of being too much or into that kind of emotional bullying? Or when should you be stepping down and giving your kid the autonomy to say no to something? It's a tough line to have to walk.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is really tough. So one of the things, we were talking about before the podcast, for me, that kind of this idea of like Simone and how we do these things that brought it for me was when I worked at summer camp, we would do like high ropes course for our students. And I led a lot of these things. I love leading challenge course. I love leading group building and things like that. And part of that was encouraging kids to challenge and face elements of fear in this safe environment by climbing the tower, climbing on this pole and jumping off, going across a wire, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back, I know there were times that I crossed lines with kids in my intent to encourage them to push themselves further, but it became less about them being the best version of themselves up there, and like my identity was found in like them being the best version of themselves. Like I need them to go further for me and not for them. And if they reached a level and were like, I need to come down, like I did not do a very good job of like celebrating what they accomplished instead of highlighting where they failed.
Yeah.
And I think that happens, right? Like, and in reality, it was all through the best of intent, right? Mm-hmm. All through this best of like, I want you to reach the top so we can cry and celebrate together. But not every kid reaches the top.
Yeah.
And can I still cry and celebrate with them when maybe some kids can fly up to the top and it's really not that much of a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And some kids putting on the harness was like was facing a fear that they never faced before.
Yeah.
Right.
And if the only version of success is reach the top, then that fails all those kids who could not do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And looking back, I mean, part of me is like, man, I wish I could go back and like hug those kids that got halfway and said, I need to come down and say like, what you did was brave and powerful and special, even if it did not reach the level I think you could have gone to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And next year, let's work on getting one step higher,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
like whatever that looks like. So I think that is all a part of that. And we don't do a very good job, not only sometimes with our kids, but really with our peers and our people. I know, you know, one of the things we were talking about before this, Pastor David, is like, by being pastor of a church, everybody's got emergencies.
Yep.
And when they're faith-based, they come to you, right?
For the most part. Yeah.
Or like, hey, we've got issues around life-ending stuff for family members.
Yep.
Our celebrations of birth, we're coming to our family. And everybody agrees that you deserve a right to on vacation at private time.
Sure.
But they all agree. They all think, but my stuff is supersedes.
Right.
You should have a vacation, but only when I'm not having an emergency.
Yeah.
Like, and so whenever those things come into conflict, it's hard to land on, oh, we're experiencing end of life things for a family member. My pastor's on vacation. I really want to celebrate and highlight the vacation that they're on, and we'll have to figure this out some other way.
Yeah.
It's always like, no.
Right.
Yep.
You have the right to
Let's see if he's got his phone.
Yeah. And so I think, and I understand it, but I think it highlights like this idea of like, you're having to always be on call, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And my needs always are going to kind of supersede yours a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, are that kind of mentality.
Yeah. And there are healthy and unhealthy ways in which that plays out, right? And I'm fortunate enough, I'll just say this, I'm fortunate enough that Lord of Life has a pretty healthy set of how that plays out for the vast majority. But there are a lot of places where it doesn't. And especially places where you're the only pastor there in a small community, in a small town, it can be really hard for pastors to get the rest that they need. But pastors also don't always do a good job of modeling that rest for others.
Sure.
Right? And so it goes both ways, right? We have a responsibility to model that. In the same way that we're trying to model this love for our kids, we as pastors have a responsibility to model this love for our communities. And that can be really hard to do. You know, it's easy-ish to do with your kids that you have raised and have known and love unconditionally because they're your kids.
Mm-hmm.
It can be harder to do that with other knowledgeable adults who have the ability to think through their situations and still choose really, really inappropriate ways to act with you or with others. It can be harder to love them unconditionally as God does, but that's what we're trying to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, as people of faith, that's what we should be doing in our communities, right? There should have been people of faith surrounding Simone to let her know that she was more than just gymnastics for a long time, right? That should have been happening. We should be, as people of faith, reaching out into our communities to make sure that our kids know that they're more than whatever, even if they're not hearing that message at home. We should be getting that message out to them. And we have to embrace that for ourselves in order to do that. And that's the real challenge, is that for us, it requires us overcoming, you know, this years and years of baggage around competition. And I love competition. Like, let me just be clear here. I love, you know, having a race and getting to know that I, you know, did better than someone else or that I improved on my own time. I love being a part of teams when we win. I really hate being a part of teams when we lose, right? I mean, I love cheering for teams that I have no connection to, right? I've never gone to Ohio State University, but I love being a fan of the Buckeyes. It is a huge part of my fall experience to cheer for fall football and things like that. But there's a toxicity to it, and there's a danger to it when our identity becomes wrapped up in that. And, you know, there are so many situations where, even for college athletes, right, where someone will drop a pass or miss a kick or whatever, and they will receive death threats and hate mail and all sorts of for this 18, 19, 20-year-old kid who, in the current situation, is not getting paid but is getting this education, right, and they dropped a pass.
Yeah.
How many passes have I dropped in my life, which is why I don't play college football, admittedly, but... You know, this is what the standard that we're holding other people to, trying to find our fulfillment in them. And this is what we did to Simone as well.
Yeah, I think we, as a culture and also as a church culture, I think we have sort of an achievement complex, which I don't think is biblical. And I'm really curious about how and why that showed up and why we embraced that.
Because it was part of the culture around us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think we have fed into this idea of like, if we're not the best, then what are we?
Right, but it's not even just that. It's that, you know, if you're really faithful, you work yourself to the bone being, you know, charitable or faithful or, you know, whatever it is. You're not allowed to just rest for you, you know?
Yeah. Well, in some ways, I think we've unbiblically taken this idea that rest is weak, right? And we've kind of taken this concept of...
Slothful.
Sloth is one of the seven deadly sins, right? And if I'm, you know, just laying back and resting, like, we have not genuinely lived into Sabbath, because as a modern culture, we don't understand what Sabbath is supposed to be about. And so instead we see rest as a sign of weakness, and we don't want to be weak, and we don't want our faith to be perceived as weak, because if our faith is perceived as weak, then other people won't want to be a part of our faith. And so it's this kind of perpetuating cycle. I mean, this is why you get, have we talked about this on the podcast, where you get like the man culture of toxic, like
the man culture,
like toxic manhood within Christianity and stuff like that, where you have to make Christianity sound tough and things like that in order to appeal to men, which is only because we're living into that thing that has been promoted within the culture as well, as opposed to saying Christianity really calls us to something different. It's not that Christianity can't be tough, it's not that there can't be, you know, competition within faith, but it's that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, just as easy to burn out on faith as it is in a career.
Absolutely.
Or
sports,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
We do not acknowledge that.
Yeah. I had a colleague here in the Woodlands who did a very informal Twitter poll just to kind of get his sense. And among clergy friends of his on Twitter, over 60%, I think it was like 65, 68%, something like that, of, you know, a couple hundred clergy that he had following him on Twitter, I replied that within the last 12 to 18 months, they have strongly considered leaving rostered ministry for based on, you know, everything that's been going on.
Yeah.
And that's just one example of how, you know, this is pushing all of us into a brink in a way that we've not experienced before, but we're not giving voice to that because we find our vocation, we find our identity really in this thing that I do. And it can be really, really dangerous for us as
Absolutely.
People of faith.
Yeah. And I think too, we're all afraid if we do take that time to slow down, take a break, we're going to realize all I've done is spun my wheels my entire life. Like, we're afraid of that, right? Like, if as long as I keep moving, I know I'm doing something.
Yeah.
And I may not like the path I'm on, but it's at least a path.
Yeah.
And if I take a break, what do I... I've got nothing left. And I think this highlights the need for all of us to embrace preventative care, not just care when you reach the Olympic level and you have to say, I need to pull out
for
my mental health.
I've pushed too hard for too long so that I can't do this thing that I pushed to do.
Yeah, but how can we say, you know what, I'm a little overwhelmed right now, I need an afternoon. And not like I've worked for 10, 15 years straight and I need 3 months sabbatical
yeah.
break.
Right.
Yeah.
But how can I like say I need preventative care right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not even that there's major stresses or things that are happening. It's kind of like I just need to go to the gym or to the run
mm-hmm.
or things like this. These physical elements, but how can I take that preventative care for my mental health? Like
mm-hmm.
I just need to talk to somebody
mm-hmm.
and have that, even if it's just for an hour. And just process my thoughts out loud. And I think especially, you know, I can say this, especially for men, that's really tough
mm-hmm.
to have that.
Yeah.
Preventative mental health care is really difficult to kind of like embrace
yeah.
and celebrate with one another. You know, like it's hard.
Yeah.
And I know several years ago, I went to therapy for 7 months and it was really hard. Like it was really hard to like say that to other people because
mm-hmm.
like there's a level of shame, even though in my mind I'm like, nobody should be ashamed about going to therapy.
Which is what we've all said to other people.
Yeah, but
yeah.
you don't apply that to yourself though.
But,
yeah.
but I shouldn't have to.
Right.
Like
right.
you, it's nothing wrong
I
with
I should have my stuff together. Everybody else, like
yeah.
in the past, yeah.
yeah. And so that was tough. And, you know, and at the end of that 7 months, reached a level of like, I feel okay. And what I needed to discuss and say aloud, those problems didn't necessarily solve themselves, but having a voice to speak into helped.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need that. And especially one of the things since that Elise and I highlighted 2 weeks ago is this lack of friendship that we're experiencing
mm-hmm.
means we have a lack of sources to share our mental health breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like sometimes we could get by with maybe speaking about what's going on in our life to our friends and colleagues and these people. When those things are gone, who do we talk to about what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody should embrace therapy at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will help you.
Yeah. And I think that's helpful just to remember, right, that whatever we perceive as weakness within the culture is not what God perceives as weakness.
Yeah.
And even if it is what God perceives as weakness, it's not how God judges us.
It don't matter.
Yeah. yeah. Even if God looks down and says, yeah, that's a weak thing to do,
mm-hmm.
God still loves you exactly the same.
Yeah.
And, you
yeah.
know, whether you make a weak choice or a strong choice, and even using those words,
yeah,
doesn't
it's kind
make
of
any
little,
sense.
Yeah.
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 But, you know, God loves you because you're God's child in the same way that you love your own children. And hopefully in the same way that you were loved by your parents, hopefully. And
yeah.
that may or may not have been your experience. And if it wasn't, come and talk to us. And
yeah.
we will be your new parents.
Sure.
Beyonce.
I don't like kids. So.
yeah.
I just like to say that you're recording this on your daughter's birthday.
I like mine.
Oh, okay.
and my friends.
And honestly, some of us could empathize with that worldview, too, of your relationship with your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely want to, as we're kind of closing up here, things here. Let me get it up on my phone.
We're suturing up this little surgery we've been doing.
Yeah. yeah. He's also to highlight God, infinitely
I
powerful.
Like God.
I like God. who is infinitely powerful,
yep.
took a day of rest.
Mm.
And
ooh.
And didn't
bring it back.
Need to because to rehabilitate that power.
Right.
But because of
bad
yeah.
Jesus.
Gotta go get me a protein shake.
Right.
Yeah, Jesus, God's son.
Have I invented protein shakes yet?
the sauna, is it around?
when you read the Gospels and read Jesus, there are so many moments where you pick up on Jesus withdraws.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because he cannot handle healing more people or he cannot do these things. It's part of his structure
mm-hmm.
of saying, I need breaks.
Mm-hmm.
I need to take a step back. And so none of us can handle life better than Jesus.
I don't know.
None of us have a well of energy, have a well of energy and power that God doesn't have.
I mean,
none
Jesus,
of us,
Jesus didn't sleep on a Casper mattress, so,
you
know. I mean, neither do I, but that was the first mattress brand that I could think of off the top of my head.
That Instagram marketing.
That's right. It goes deep.
Right.
So None of us have that same level of power, commitment, and drive
yeah.
that the God of the universe who created everything
yeah.
has, or the Jesus who redeems the universe has.
Yeah.
And they need breaks.
And I mean,
yeah.
rest is built into
yeah.
the world. I mean, right? Yeah. I mean, trees rest. That's what we call, well, yeah. not in Texas. That's what most places call winter, right?
Sure.
I mean, trees
right.
rest. Animals rest. You know, there are these cycles and these life cycles that things move through. Rest is ingrained
yeah.
in us,
mm-hmm.
and we fight it rather than allowing ourselves to experience
yeah.
the natural way of things. Sabbath should not be... Sabbath shouldn't be hard.
Yeah.
It's a gift, and it's not a burden. It should be a gift that we are given this
yeah.
opportunity to rest.
You heard the story about, I think it was in France during the Middle Ages sometime, that they changed the structure of work to, instead of, you know, 5 days of work or 6 days of work and then a day of rest and then another week, it was 2 weeks straight of work and then 2 days of rest
no.
for, like, farmers and serfs and stuff
what
like
happened?
That. The livestock died.
Ooh.
The horses all started dying because they were overworked. So I always think that's pretty fascinating. Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yep.
Yeah.
So take breaks, people.
Yeah. Don't overwork your horses.
Yeah.
Sure. Or your brain.
Yeah.
Or your pommel horses, just to take it back to
Ayo.
The gymnastics.
There you go. There you go. I have a recommendation. If you're looking of like, I need an afternoon off and I want to just like sit and do nothing and rest.
Call up Patrick and he'll come
yeah.
hang out.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
We'll bring the Colonel movie on.
No, I have a show recommendation.
Oh.
We haven't done a recommendation, but this is season 2, just came out of Ted Lasso.
Oh my gosh, it's
Apple
my
TV.
Favorite. I didn't know you were a fan.
Do I have to go all the way back and watch season? I'm just kidding. This is
season 1 is 10 episodes.
I'm
just
obsessed.
Kidding.
It's
I love
world's perfect
we're all,
show.
We're all
yeah.
three Lassoites. It's fun.
Yes.
I didn't know.
It's what the world needs.
Laotians?
It is.
No, Laotians is a real thing. What would be...
you'll figure it out. Right. It's what the world needs right now. It's just
it's
so positive.
Yeah.
It's just... a breath of fresh air. It's still funny.
It's
still
sweet,
has,
though.
Yeah.
It's so sweet.
Yeah, but it has just
yeah.
a level of kindness to it, and not like
I
it
think
is
it's
sweet.
They're speaking in British accent,
but not
I think that's what gives it the level of sweetness.
But it's
again.
Not. It,
yeah,
it's not like saccharine sweet, like where it's like
yeah.
fake. It just
yeah.
feels like
you want to be a better person when you watch it.
God,
yeah,
this is how the world should be.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
and it's still funny.
I will have no spoilers here, but I love the finale of season 1.
Oh my
oh,
gosh, yes.
Season 1 finale is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I watched the new episodes of season 2 on the plane back from recent vacation.
Oh,
yes.
Fun.
So you could sign up for Apple TV, like $5 for the month.
So worth it.
Just binge Ted Lasso.
Except they're only releasing the season like week by week.
Yeah, well, I think if you do it like now or the next week, you could get 1 month and watch all of season 1 and then all of season 2 as it comes out. Because
yeah.
like 3 or 4 episodes are out of season 2.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. You'd
yeah.
probably make
it's
it.
Season 3 is coming out on Friday. Or not season 3, episode 3.
Season 2.
Well, our Friday, not when the podcast comes out Friday.
Yeah. Friday is Friday.
That's right.
All right.
I'm confused.
When am I supposed to rest?
Yeah.
This Friday?
Oh, my
Never.
Gosh.
You're watching Ted Lasso now. That's what you do.
Podcast Friday. Real-time Friday. Hey, if you liked what you heard on the podcast today, or if you feel like someone else in your life needs an opportunity to rest and recover, we would love to be a part of that with you. And you can send them a link to this episode or any of our episodes from BeyondSundayPodcast.com. You can send us an email to let us know how much you appreciated this or any of our previous episodes at BeyondSundayPodcast@gmail.com.
Or if you know Simone.
Yeah, if anybody's gotten in, if anyone in the greater Houston area has an in with Simone, for sure, we want to get on that
yeah.
and get her on this podcast.
You want to take her to the KFC hotel?
Hey, I'll say that.
Relax.
I'll say this. Nothing will boost our ratings faster than getting Simone Biles in. I don't even care what
yeah.
she talks about.
Doesn't matter.
Just get in here.
I'll be here for it.
And
yeah.
talk for, just say your name and we're in. We just need to
yeah.
get Simone Biles saying, I'm a listener of Beyond Sunday Podcast.
Even if it's not true.
So I don't care.
Sure. Even better.
Simone Biles.
Because if she listens, maybe she wouldn't want to recommend it.
That's right. Her fake recommendation is way stronger than any authentic recommendation
yeah.
I give. So I'm on board with that.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.